Welcome to the Discover You podcast, where we take a deep dive into who you are and why you do what you do. If you're ready to learn how to be a better you, you're in the right place. And now, the host of Discover You, James Hooper.
Why are you here? No, I don't mean at this place. That's not what I mean. I mean, why are you on this earth? Why were you born? See, I may not know you well, but I know this about you. You were placed on this earth by God for a purpose. No one is born to just suck oxygen. Nobody. Nobody's born just to get along, get by. Nobody's born to just exist. Everybody has a purpose and a destiny. See, this is how important you were. See, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had a committee meeting in the beginning. They got together and they strategized about you and I. And they said, let's make man, but let's make him in our image and after our likeness. They decided, they didn't talk about making cows. They didn't talk about putting plants down. They didn't talk about making oceans. They didn't talk about putting stars in place. They didn't say anything, but they said, God said, let us make man. See, everything else God just said, but they said, let us make man. That's how important you are to God. That's how important you are to the creator of the universe. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep, and God the Son was there with him. Let's make man, but let's don't just make him, just don't speak him into existence. What we're going to do is we're going to make him like us. We're going to get our hands dirty. We're going to make him out of the dust of the ground, and then we're going to breathe our very breath into his nostrils. And then when he got through doing that, he stood back and he said, that's very good. He looked at you through Adam and Eve and he said, that's very good. So you're here for a purpose. So why did he do that? God loves fellowship. He loves to fellowship. God doesn't need anything. He created us so we would fellowship with him. And man just had one rule to obey. You have all the trees in the garden, all the herbs, everything. You've got all that to eat. But there's one tree in the middle of the garden. Don't eat from that tree. And you know what happens when you tell a kid, don't do something? That's the very thing they want to do. I've always been told that prohibition creates desire. How many know back during prohibition when they outlawed liquor? It became worse than before. It became rampant. They had all these speakeasies and people got crazy because the thing is when God created, and so this, the thing is God gave us one command and that was it, and that's all we had to do. But see, then the enemy deceived Eve, and this is interesting how he deceived Eve. He said, hath God said that you shouldn't eat of the fruit of that tree? Well, Eve said, well, he said we shouldn't eat, and he said we shouldn't even touch it. But if you read back when God was telling Adam, he didn't say don't touch it. He just said don't eat. But it sounded better when it says, you know, he said don't eat and don't even touch it. We've been embellishing the truth for a long time, see? And so he said, no, see, the thing is you won't die. God knows that you'll just become just like him. What he's trying to do is establish inside in our hearts the fact that we think God's not for our good. God doesn't have our good at heart. When the whole time what he was telling her was God was saying, he said, now if God knows if you protect that, you'll be just like him. The problem is she was already like God. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Already like God. She didn't have to do anything. But see, the devil wants to give you a different identity. He wants to give you an identity that's different than the one God gave you. the person made in His image and after His likeness. He wants to give you this false identity so that you live life not knowing who you really are. Because if you know who you really are, He is in trouble and He knows that. Why do you think people medicate themselves to handle life? Because they've got this false identity of who they are. They're trying to live a life that they were never designed to live. They were never built to live. They were trying to live these things. And so we medicate with all kinds of things, with alcohol and drugs and sex and food. I mean, people medicate with food and just so they can handle life. And now God's not promising a trouble-free life, because Jesus said, He said, in this world you will have trouble. But I'm glad He didn't stop there. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And that would be good news for him if he didn't mean that I've overcome the world, so now that you are an overcomer. What we need to do is wake up to what life is really about. We need to wake up to what life is really about. You can be lost and saved at the same time. You just don't know why you're here and why you've been saved. Familiar passage of Scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now this word thoughts, it means plans, imagine, purpose, or invention. In other words, God took time to think about you before He created you. See, before the foundation of the world, He knew you. He planned you. He had a specific plan and purpose for you. He used His imagination to figure out, say, this is what is possible for them. I love that, because He knows what He has in mind for us. And if we can get in tune with Him, if we can get to know Him and know the mind of God, then we can know who we are. Quote I like there, it says, how can we know all the possibilities that exist in the mind of God for us unless we awaken to the life that God has designed for us? How can we know the possibilities unless we awaken to the life that God designed for us? God has designed a life of victory for you. See, the thing is we have gone through life and we have built our theology based on what has happened to us instead of what God says. We've built our theology based on what God didn't do instead of what God said would happen. And I can't live my life that way. I can't say, well, God didn't do this time, so He doesn't do that. He says that He heals. He says that He set free. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to release the captives. God is here to set us free and to give us a life more abundantly. John 10:10, for the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come, Jesus said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He's either telling the truth or He's lying to us, one or the other. And I choose to believe that He's telling the truth, because He made us. He created this earth. See, the thing is He created everything we would ever possibly need before He ever put us on this earth. There is no lack in God. There is no insufficiency in God. There is no doubt in God. There is no fear in God, because He has provided everything that we needed before He put us here. See, God doesn't live in our time. He doesn't live in our limited space called time. He lives in eternity. See, He is in your future, and He's in your past, and He's in your present all at the same time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That is what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who loved Him. Now see, I've heard this all my life, and they've always talked about this means heaven. But I don't know what they do with the next scripture when it says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. God has revealed to us what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it has been revealed to us by the Spirit of God, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thought except that person's own spirit. Nobody knows what you're thinking except you And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. I like this, and we have received God's Spirit, not this world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. We have the Spirit of God living and residing inside of us so we can know what God has planned for us. Now, I've heard this phrase all my life. You never know what God's going to do. I've heard it all my life. You never know what's going to do. Wrong. Wrong. This scripture tells us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, it's thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God has good things planned for you. God wants good things for you. Do we experience bad stuff? Yes. Do we have adversity in our lives? Yes. Do we have things come along that we think are going to destroy us? Yes. But I'm here to tell you, God did not put those things in your life, but He put inside of you the ability to come through those things victorious and stronger on the other side. God has good things planned for you. God wants to reveal to us His purpose in our lives. He wants to reveal His purpose in our lives. John chapter 15, verse 15, I read this Sunday, says, I no longer call you slaves, but a master, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told you. So there's scripture that you think, well, there's other scriptures, because Paul says I'm a slave to God. So which one's right? Is Jesus right when he says we're not slaves? And is Paul right when he says we are slaves? Well, the term they're using is servant. And see, my wife and I, we were best friends before we got married, and we're still best friends. Yet I serve her and she serves me. We're still friends. In fact, we try to outserve one another. See, we're serving one another, though we are friends. You serve your friends. You want to do things for your friends. So when Paul says, I'm a servant, I'm a slave to God, God is his friend. Jesus is his friend, but he wants to do things for God. Amen. See, we don't do things to get our salvation with God, but when we get salvation, when it's given to us freely, we want to do things for God. That's why Jesus said, let your light shine before men so that others may see your good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. They see your good works. You don't earn salvation through works, but when you get saved, you want to do stuff for God because He's been so good to you. Amen. James chapter 2, verse 23, and so it happened just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was called the friend of God. Abraham was called the friend of God. So in Genesis chapter 18, it says, should I hide my plan from Abraham? God comes up to Abraham. Abraham's got his tent pitched. And God comes up to Abraham and says, should I tell Abraham what I got planned for Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, he's my friend, so I'm going to tell him. So he says, should I hide my plan from Abraham? The Lord asked. For Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised. See, Abraham was actually under an inferior covenant than we have. If Abraham, why would God reveal what he was going to do to Abraham and not tell us what he's going to do? We can know what God wants to accomplish. Sometimes we may not know the specifics. We know the direction God wants us to go. We know the purpose God has for us. We know what we were designed to do. I know what God has designed me to do, but I did not know that Trinity Tabernacle was going to come up in what I'm designed to do. but it perfectly suits what I'm designed to do. It happened that what I'm built to do, and what my giftings are, and what my passions are, what I love to do. I mean, when I'm doing all, taking care of all this business, T.I. and I went Monday up to the bank, and we had to open a new account because we're incorporated now and all this kind of stuff. So we had to open a new account. We did that, and we were going and getting some stuff for the overhead thing. We were doing stuff, and I called my wife about 3:15 or so. So I'm heading home. She said, "Well, you are still alive." And I said, "Yeah, I am." She said, "You're high, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah, because I'm doing business. I'm taking care of things. I like getting things done. I'm a task-oriented person, and I'm an organizer, and I'm a planner, and I'm a strategizer. I love those things. This suits me, and then I love like the Dickens to preach. So it really suits me." So Jesus said we were his friends. So what makes Abraham a better friend? If God's going to tell Abraham what he's going to do about Sodom and Gomorrah, and then Abraham, listen to this, Abraham began to negotiate with God. He began to say, "Well, if you can find 100 righteous in Sodom, will you destroy them?" He said, "No. If there's 100, I won't." He's negotiating with God. God says, "I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." He said, wait a minute, buddy. If there's 100 righteous people, will you destroy? Because, see, his nephew was in Sodom. And he negotiates down to 15. And God said, "If there's 15, I know there ain't, but if there's 15. But still, God says, I want to talk with my friends. I want to talk with those that I love. So when the enemy tells you that God's not on your side, that God's doesn't have anything good planned for you, God's mad at you, that's when you know he's lying. Because when he says God's mad at you, when he said God...
Hey guys, I just wanted to break away for a quick moment to remind you there are two different ways that you can actually help sponsor this podcast. Number one, you can go to the website for the book, the Discover You book, and then the website is discoveryou-book.com, discoveryou-book.com. There's a link that will send you to Amazon, and for $9.99, you can have your very own copy. Secondly, in the description of this podcast, there is a link that you can click where you can go and set up a monthly monetary donation. Any amount would be great. Any amount would help us. So please consider sponsoring and help joining those that are already supporting us. I appreciate you guys for listening, and now back to the episode.
God's not pleased with you when he said all this other stuff. Whenever there's no redemption in your thoughts, you know that's not from God. Because God, He'll talk to us and he'll straighten us out, but there's always redemption involved. There's always hope. There's always hope when God comes to us and he talks to us about issues in our lives. But the devil will come and it'll be like, there's no hope. That's how you can tell if it's God or the devil. Is there any hope involved? There's a redemption. I'm using a lot of scripture, but I'm trying to make a point. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me as his prisoner, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He saved us, notice I underline that, he saved us, and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but, listen to this, because of his own purpose. He saved us because of his own purpose. He created us for a reason. We were born into sin. He redeemed us so that we could come back into his purpose for us. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. See, God didn't save us just so we could be in heaven with him. If that's the case, we would have died. And as soon as we said, "Forgive me of my sins," he'd have killed us. Took us to heaven. But he saved us because he has a purpose imagined for us. It's the whole reason we were created. It's what he created us to do and to be. The grace is that enablement to do what our purpose is. Grace is a divine enablement to do it. We were given this grace and the divine enablement before we were born. Last scripture, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew, or I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. If he tells Jeremiah that, it's the truth for us. Before you were born, I knew you. I chose you. See, growing up, I was always the little chubby kid. I'm not very athletic. I played because I went to a school that was really small. There's 283 kids, kindergarten through 12th grade, all in one building. Three different wings. And so if you just went out for the team, you made the team. There was no trying out. You just made the team. So I played football all 4 years of high school. Well, let's say this. I stood on the sidelines all 4 years of high school. I had the cleanest uniform after every game. I played basketball. Okay, I'm a 5'8 little chubby kid. I love basketball. In fact, I was going to wear my Dirk Nowitzki jersey to honor him because he's retiring. But Sharon said, I don't know that they're ready for that. But I will wear my Dirk Nowitzki jersey tonight. I love basketball, but I'm 5'8 and chubby. I don't have a vertical lump jump that's like over that high. So, you know, I look good. I got good form, but that's about it. So when we were kids and it came to picking sides, I was the kid that pretty much got picked last. In other words, I got it onto a team by default because there was nobody else left. Okay, all that's left is James Carter. Come on, get my team. Nobody ever picked me to first. Nobody picked me first because I was not the most athletic, because I was the fastest, or because I was sharp and I was all this kind of, nobody picked me that. But see, the thing is God picked me before I was ever born. He picked you. No matter what anybody else thinks about you, no matter what anybody's perception of you is, God chose you. That's why you are a distinct individual. That's why there's not two of you around. Because God created you individually, and in Timothy, he says, Ephesians, he says, you are God's workmanship. You are his masterpiece, created for good works. In other words, God said, I did that so good, I won't do another one like that. I'm going to create another one, somebody else. See, we all can, you can look at your finger and say, look, that fingerprint, nobody in history has ever had that fingerprint. Nobody in the future will ever have that fingerprint. No matter how many people are born, nobody will ever have that fingerprint. And that's God's prophecy to you, to how unique God has created you. No, you're not like other people. That's on purpose. See, that's the thing that I dealt with growing up in high school. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be liked, so I became a chameleon. Whoever I was around, that's who I became like. I was in a small school. It was a lot of farmers and ranchers around, so I was in FFA all 4 years of high school. And so I got involved. I had the boots and the tight jeans. Thank God I got delivered from tight jeans. And I had the hat, and I had the pickup, and I had all the stuff, all the trappings, and that's part of who I am. That's part of my background. I was a country boy before country was even cool. You know, Barbara Mandrell sings that. I know y'all don't listen to that music, but anyway. But the thing is, I would always try to be like everybody else. In fact, at one point, I was living two lives. I was hanging around guys, and I was acting just like them, talking like them. And then my daddy was pastoring a church, and I'd go to church because I knew how to strike the pose. I knew the right words to say. I knew how to act so people thought I was living the right life. But when I'm around my friends, I'm cussing and all this kind of stuff, and I'm acting like they are. You know, God was merciful to me. I never developed any addictions. I tried to drink. I tried to be bad. Y'all don't realize, I tried hard to be bad. So I tried drinking, and it was nasty. Okay, well, I'm hanging around these guys, so I'm gonna dip some Copenhagen. Some people did Skoll, some did Copenhagen. So I tried Copenhagen. I got so sick. All right, I'm going to chew tobacco. So I bought me some tobacco. Me and my brother go to the state fair, and we're coming back. We'd bought us a pack of tobacco, and we both got a chaw in our cheek, and we're driving home from, from, and we're just getting so sick. I mean, we're getting so sick. So I couldn't drink, I couldn't chew, I couldn't dip. I tried smoking and I got sick. I was afraid to try drugs because, you know, I was too chicken to do that. So I never did anything. I never developed any bad habit, but I was living a life just like somebody that had all that. Because I had a mouth on me and I had an anger issue that my poor siblings, in fact, today was National Siblings Day, and my sister posted and said, celebrate National Siblings Day with her two bookends. She's in the middle between me and my brother, and poor girl never had a chance. She didn't become feminine until she got older and moved away from us because she had to be tough. She had to be tough. But, you know, I tried to be everything everybody else was so I could be accepted. And it wasn't until I was 40 years old that I finally became comfortable with who I was. I found my giftings in the prophetic because I thought so differently. And this is another reason why I wrote my book, because I thought so differently than my dad and my brother. I reacted to things so differently than they did. The way I approached and looked at life was so different than they did. I knew I was loved, but I didn't feel like I really belonged in that family. I felt like I was just kind of an oddball. I knew I was loved, so that wasn't the problem. But the thing is once I figured out that I have this prophetic bent to me. I see things black and white, and I don't have at that point, I didn't have a lot of mercy. So, you know, I was pretty hard-nosed and pretty blunt and pretty, you know, that kind of stuff. My dad was just the most kind and merciful and blah, blah, you know. They'd be counseling people, and I said, Dad, you need to tell them just move on. You got a problem? Build a bridge. Get over it. That was my approach. But my dad was the kind, he would just counsel people. He would talk with them, all this stuff. But God's mellowed me as I've gotten old. But see, I found out who I was, and I began to find people like me. I began to listen to more people in the prophetic, and I'm thinking, hey, they think like I do. Now, thank God I was blessed enough to find people that helped bring balance to it, because there are some people in my lives that were prophetic, and they were in their 80s, and they were still hard-nosed, still brutal, and still... But, you know, they said, you've got to mellow some of that stuff. You've got to balance that out. But see, the thing is when I found out who I was, that's when I became comfortable with who I was, and I began to discover who I am and what God's put inside of me. And it started years of me searching and finding, fine-tuning who I am. And God's just really drilled that into me. And I have found more satisfaction in life. I tried to be everybody else. I tried to do what everybody else. Back in the ag days, they all showed steers because they had money. They could buy a steer. We didn't have, so I had pigs. I raised show pigs. I had the prettiest red Duroc pigs. Oh, they were beautiful. And I showed pigs, but we couldn't afford a cow, so I showed pigs. So, you know, I did everything I could to fit in. I still love my boots. In fact, I don't even have a pair of boots, do I? You got a pair of ropers, but I don't. But that's part of who I am, but it's just one of those things to where I've discovered who God has created me to be, and I'm still discovering who He's designed me to be. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. God has designed you for specific things, and I'm here to tell you that if you consider this place your home, and you're committed to staying here, and listen to this ignorant, blonde-headed boy get up here and talk as much as he wants to, I'm here to tell you, God has a purpose for you in this place. God has a purpose for you in this community. You may not live in this community, but when you worship in a community, God says, I want to use that church to reach this community, to bless this community. Back to Abraham. We are Abraham's seed through Jesus Christ, and Abraham's blessing is on us. But what is Abraham's blessing? You shall be blessed to be a blessing. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through you. We're not blessed to be blessed. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're here to bless other people, to minister to the world. So my question is, why are you here? Why are you on this earth? I ask you to consider seeking God, getting in a time of prayer, getting in time. He can reveal to you through the Word. He can reveal to you through prayer. He can reveal to you through His Spirit. The purpose that you're here, I'm here to tell you that there is a reason for you being here. You may not feel like it. You may feel like the devil may have lied to you and says you're not worth anything, that you'll never accomplish anything. And I'm talking to older people, but I'm here to tell you that he still lies to older people.
Yep.
And tells you you're not worth. In fact, he tells people, now you're worthless because you're not working with your hands. You're not doing anything. Your kids are gone. And what are you now? My mother went through that after we were gone. She had to go through this whole thing of, well, I was a mother. I've been a mother for so long. And then she kind of focused in on helping my dad in the ministry and serving him and being there with him and working with him. And then he passes away in 2016 from, 2012 from Alzheimer's. And there she is by herself, and she's always been there her whole being has been for other people. And she said, who am I? What do I do? I said, Mom, you've got to reinvent yourself. I said, your gift is serving people. Find somebody to serve. Find somebody. So she started doing Meals on Wheels and then actually up into being in charge of that. And then she started doing, the school does a little backpack for kids to take home with them so they have food on the weekend. So she started driving down to Dallas to the North Texas Food Bank to get that food and driving back up to get it. And so then she started working as a judge, election judge, so she can help with that because, you know, she loves people. She gets high on people, so she got people coming by all the time. You know, and she gets to be there for her. She just does all these things, and now she's actually working up at the school, back in the cafeteria, working there just a few hours a week just so she can do something. And those girls up there, they just love her. They call her grandma, and they're always encouraged by her because she'll wear a 25-year-old out, and she's 74 years old. She'll just wear them out. She's just now slowing down where she needs a nap pretty much every now and then. I mean, my goodness, she's a workhorse. She's a gift. See, the enemy lied to her and told her, your usefulness is over. Your husband's died. You have no more purpose. And she went through hard times. See, the enemy has lied to some of you and told you the very same thing. You don't have a purpose anymore because you're not who you used to be. You don't have the same role you used to have. But I'm here to tell you that things change and God is moving and He has a plan for you. He was not surprised by this point in your life, by this stage in life. He didn't say, oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming. He knew what was happening. He's prepared it before you ever got there. He prepared it for you. Be encouraged tonight. God wants you to understand you are called and you are blessed.
Thanks for listening to Discover You with James Hooper. If you haven't already, please subscribe wherever you like to listen. You can also follow us on Twitter at DiscoverYouPod, or you can email us at discoveryoupod@gmail.com. Discover who you were meant to be.